I'm just going to pray briefly before we begin. Father God, I just ask that you would give me your spirit, Lord God, upon me to deliver your word and your message tonight. Lord, this is your word of God that affects all of our lives in some way or another, past or present. And I ask you, Lord God, you would help us to understand what it is, Lord, to live in your spirit and to live in truth and to know what it is, Lord God, to serve you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I've titled tonight's talk, Life's Not Fair When the Truth is Covered Up. And last week, Taddy quoted from one of my favourite film actors of all time. I know I'm sad. Right? I like Sylvester Stallone. I always liked his films. I love the Rambo films and I love Rocky. I've got it in the house. And just love the whole way he was able to put a film across. When I went to New York, 2006 or something with Ruth, we went into this bookstore in New York City and I found a little book and it was all of Rocky famous quotes that he'd said in all of his movies. And the one that Taddy used last week is one of my favourites. You, me or nobody is going to be hit as hard as life, but it ain't about how hard you get hit. It's about how hard you get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can keep taking and moving forward. I just love that quote. And Taddy said last week that nothing hits as hard as life. It's something that many of us know far too well. The knocks we've taken, the blows we've received, the ones we've seen coming. But most often, we don't deserve any of these. But sometimes, we get a blow that we do deserve. We've all heard the quote, what comes around goes around, relating to the things that you do, good or bad, will in one way or another come back and be paid back to you in time. For example, I found somebody's mobile phone today in Mount Stuart. I could have just pretended that was mine and moseyed on. But I decided that it was good to hand that in, pay a little bit forward, as Taddy once said, so that I could get a little bit back later. So I'm hoping in the good return of things that if I lose my phone, someone's going to hand it in. That's it. Call it a works. But what if we're told lies, untruths that are meant for our benefit? What if someone decides it's better to tell you the lie, to cover up the truth, and by doing so, sparing you any pain? Tonight's video clip, we saw the courtroom drama from the film A Few Good Men. The film revolves around the court-martial of two U.S. Marines charged with the murder of a fellow Marine and the tribulations of their lawyers as they prepare a case to defend their clients. A command was given during the movie, which is called a Code Red, which was a severe punishment which would have led to a man's death. A cover-up was in place in the film, and the court is seeking to find out what really happened. During the trial, in the clip that you saw, a high-ranking colonel is under pressure in the courtroom, and during a heated discussion, when asked to tell the truth, he answers, "You can't handle the truth." Back to the hallway. Tonight's talk is based on a cover-up, a deception, and the attempt to hide the truth. Life's not fair when the truth is covered up. I'm going to pick up my story here in Genesis chapter 37. And I'm reading from verse 31 to 36. Okay. 31 to 36. So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "If we have found this, do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not?" And he recognized it and said, "It is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all the sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted, and he said, "For I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. I'm picking up my story where Taddy left off last week, where Joseph, due to his brother's rivalry and jealousy, have sold him into slavery. Sold him to the Midianites. They pulled him, if you remember, they threw him into a pit. Then they pulled him out of the pit. Then they sold him to the Midianites. And they sold him into slavery. They had had enough of this dreamer. As Taddy had pointed out, he was a bit of a goody two-shoes who his father favoured. Things are going wrong for him. And now he has ended up heading to Egypt as a slave after being sold, like I said, into the Midianites. It's when we read this kind of a story and this part of the story that we think to ourselves, or I would certainly ask, is God really in control of what's taking place? Following Joseph being sold into slavery, the brothers must head home and tell the father some very distressing and terrible news. This is not the kind of news you want to tell your father. Before doing so, they take their brother's tunic, dip it into the blood of the young goat, and by this they're trying to conceal their crime by pretending that Joseph has been killed by a wild animal. They have the perfect alibi. Everyone is in agreement to cover up the crime. But when you read this, there's something very strangely familiar about the scene of the sons of Jacob presenting the bloodstained coat of many colours to their father. A deliberate misidentification, a tricked father, even the scent of the goat that lingered on his coat. The incident bears a striking resemblance to the deception of Isaac by Jacob when he himself carried out so many years ago, and is recorded that we've seen a couple of months back. And that time, Jacob is on the receiving end of the deception now, and he is now being tricked into believing his son has been killed by wild animals. The scripture law, like I said, of reaping and sowing is a reoccurring theme in the book of Genesis. If you remember, Jacob had dealt dishonestly with his father when he dressed up as his brother Esau and stole his brother's birthright and his final blessing. Now his sons are dealing with him the same way. What you sow, you shall reap. They have come together to deal with the favorite son, conjure up a lie to deceive their father, and a cunning plan to come along with it. Be sure that no one ultimately gets away with their sinfulness is a lesson in the book of Genesis that comes up again, time and again. When Jacob is presented with the tunic, he quickly assumes that his son has been torn and killed by a wild animal. No one has told him this. No one tells him it. He assumes it. He looks at the evidence and he jumped to his own conclusion. They did not tell him what had happened. He came to his own conclusion. He is distraught by what has happened. He thinks what has happened is terrible. It's inconceivable that his son, his favorite son, is now dead, and how could he continue to carry on living without him? When I was studying this and thinking about what was being said, you've got to remember Jacob is a man that knew God, and indeed a man who had a relationship with him, even wrestling with the angel of God. He came close to God. He knew God. He listened to God. He knew the promises of God upon his life. All of that we know. And yet, given this, you might think that he might have discerned that something was amiss. He knew God. He knew everything. How could he possibly miss that he was being lied to? Maybe God didn't want him to see the truth at this moment and therefore hid it from him. Just because God reveals things to him at different times does not mean that he sees everything. And we must be careful whenever we look at situations and wonder why we didn't see this or we didn't see that. Because God does not reveal everything to everyone. And God will choose different people at different times to see different circumstances. Then we read this. All his sons and his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, and he said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. There can be nothing worse than losing a child. I can't even comprehend what the feeling must be like when you lose your child. Why my child? Why us? Why them? The loss of a child is an incomparable tragedy for any parent to go through. Regardless of their age, no parent should ever bury their own child. The loss of a child is something that I cannot give to you in words. The emptiness and the despair goes beyond mere heartbreak. It tears through the very soul of that parent. The thing about this tonight is it's not just about the death. There is also a missing person. The loss of a child is bad enough, but what happens when a child is lost and the body never comes home? I was listening a few weeks back to the hope that was given to the family of Arlene Arkinson, who had the renewed hope that maybe her body might be found. That maybe the forensic team that went into that field, the farmer's field, digging and searching, might find the missing teenager. The 15-year-old from Castle Derg disappeared after a night out. They've been looking and hoping to find her body for all these years, and nothing has come. The heartfelt family plea on television when her sister spoke of the desire to find her sister at long last. It is bad when a child has been killed, but it is even more tragic when the child's body does not return home. When there is no hope and no opportunity of a funeral and no hope of a last goodbye. There is no comfort and there is no closure. Jacob tonight is dealing in our story with a death, but he has no body to mourn, no funeral to attend. The only item of clothing that he has is his son's torn tunic that he was given. Jacob is dealing in our story tonight with a death, and he is dealing with deception, and fraud, and lies, cover-up, wickedness, false allegations. He is dealing with the whole array of fabricated stories and lies to a father who is heartbroken. Too often deceit and fabricated stories are used to hide acts of crime or even conceal them. Things that you have committed that either break the law or destroy relationships. Lies that destroy cover up acts of betrayal. For example, when a person commits adultery, it is often the trail of lies that he's left or she's left behind that reveal what's really happening. When a person commits a crime and uses a false alibi that eventually catches them out. When you build something upon lies, trust me, one day it will come tumbling down. Or maybe you've lied to save your own face, making excuses just because you haven't been able to commit or keep commitments. In the Bible, there is no stronger a verse dealing with this than this. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Lies happening day and daily. I mean, there's so many levels of lies and so many different positions in life where lies are given. In politics, you have lies. In your workplace, you can face lies. In your own family life, you can face lies. In relationships, friendships, even a so-called white lie, all lies come from the father of lies. To speak the truth is what we've been taught to do and always encouraged to do from even a young age. To speak the truth is the only right outcome to any given situation. But like the clip tonight that we used, many cannot bear to hear the truth because they cannot handle it. The truth for many can be so devastating that it is often better not to know. I know that I have chosen in my own life in two or three circumstances not to hear the truth because I don't think I could deal with what was being told or said. It might be tonight that you have been lied to or even deceived and you're feeling hurt. And the hurt that comes from the act of selfishness when somebody lies to you, either face to face or behind your back. The pain that comes when you discover that you have been betrayed is something that no one can help you with. No sticky plaster stuck across the chest is going to make you feel any better. It might be that you have been misled by someone. It might be that someone's been telling you lies. And the pain that comes from that is so deep that you can't deal with it. But think about the person tonight who is telling the lies. Maybe someone's got themselves into such a cycle of telling lies that they can't get out of it and they want to stop it, but they can't. Don't want to name any names here. But there was a wee fella who has worked for me over a period of years, so I'm not going to tell you when it was. But this wee fella is a lovely fella. Nice, lovely guy, worked for me, great guy. And he had an accident one time. And he came in, somebody had hit him. He came in to me and said, "Oh, great news." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "I had an accident." I said, "That is not good news." He said, "Yeah, but I'm getting a claim from a whiplash." I said, "Well, you won't be in work for the next few months." "No, I'm all right to work." I said, "Well, let me tell you something. What comes around goes around." And this is as true as I'm standing here. 3 weeks later, he came in. "Oh, bad news today." I said, "What's wrong with you?" "Oh, terrible news. I crashed into someone this morning." I said, "That's terrible news." He says, "Yeah, they're claiming against me." The money that he thought he had from one thing went out with the other thing. The lie had caught him up. And that's just a simple example of your lies causing you pain and coming back to haunt you. The only way to put an end to lying is to tell the truth, no matter how painful that truth will be. Better to get hurt by the truth than comforted with a lie. On the flip side of everything that I've been saying, everything about God is truth. God is wrapped in truth and righteousness, and all that He is perfect and truth. God would never lie to you or try to deceive you, although the enemy will always try to twist it and make you believe that God would tell you a lie. You know, when you're in a situation that things are going really bad, everything's going wrong, world's falling apart, Satan comes in and tells you, "God wants this to happen to you. Or God's making this happen to you. Or God doesn't really love you and this is why this is happening to you." That's when Satan will come in and use lies against God and make God look like a liar. God will never deceive you and will never tell you a lie. God loves us and He wants us to live in His truth by His Spirit. Jesus says this, "I am the way, the truth and the life." Anybody here tonight was here this morning has heard that verse twice now, because Taddy used it this morning talking about the door. "I am the way, the truth and the life." That is what Jesus says. That is what He is. That is what He proclaims. He is the only truth. And here is the thing about this truth about Jesus. Jesus says, "I am the truth." But many cannot handle that Jesus says this. Many cannot believe or grasp or understand that He is the truth. They refuse it and they cannot accept it. He is the truth. And if we accept it, we will live in truth and we will become more like Him, leaving the lies and the deception behind us and wanting to live a life like Him. I personally cannot handle deceit. I am a hopeless liar and could never tell lies. Now, don't say it now. Okay, I'm not going to say it. I have told the odd lie. But what I mean is, If you ask me something straight to my face, even my mum used to say to me, I'm going to ask you, Keith, I start smiling. Because I can't lie. I find it really difficult. And I find it really difficult when people lie to me on every level. Even in my house, I get so disappointed because Rachel in my house is the biggest porky teller. And I get really annoyed with Rachel when she tells a little untruth. But all that said, it's a serious, serious issue. We need to be people tonight who hold on to the truth and who tell the truth. And no matter how painful the truth is, be prepared to give it. Never give a lie in its substitute. And finishing tonight, I have a friend in Jesus who will never lie to me, who will never deceive me, but who will always be there for me, who I can always trust in, and I can trust that he will never abuse my trust. Tonight, as I close this, I want you to hold on to something what Jesus has said. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. We can have the truth with Jesus in this life, and we can spend eternity with him in the life to come. But we need to turn to him, accept what Jesus has done for us, accept the offer that he gives us, accept what he says about himself, and trust in him. And then we will be children of light. And if we are children of light walking with him, then we are walking in the way, the truth, and the life. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you tonight that you have given us the truth in your word. You've given us your son Jesus, who is our righteousness. You've given us, Lord God, the perfect way to live our lives by your standards and by looking to you and by looking, Lord, to serve you and to accept you in our lives. I ask you, Lord God, you would help us to have tongues that only deliver the truth. Help us, Lord God, to always put away deception and lies. Always, Lord, face up to the truth and walk in your truth and in your light. But we want to be people tonight, Lord God, who want to live our lives the right way. Lord, if any of us tonight, Lord God, myself including, have done anything deceitful or hold any lies in our hearts, Lord God, help us to confess those and help us, Lord God, to put them aside and to be done with it. And to be people, Lord God, who will walk in your righteousness and in your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.